it is time to talk about another story that we do here at 2SCR. This one about ways having a pet can increase your lifespan. And a dog, and most people do have a dog, is truly a man's best friend. And a new study has found a link between dog ownership and improved heart health. And yet they aren't the only pets whom pet owners enjoy the company of. And it begs the question, can pets create better health in humans? Now, Dr. Jeanette Young, a lecturer in health policy, politics and promotion from the University of South Australia, joins me on the line to discuss this and more. Good morning, Doctor.
Hi, how are you going, James?
Very well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us and talking to us this morning. I feel like this is going to be a very interesting chat for our listeners and for me as well. How can owning a pet lead to better health and affect human longevity?
There's probably across three areas. So physical health, mental health, social health. And the three are interlinked, we know. So we tended to focus quite a lot with the physical health on dog walking, but anyone that's got a pet knows that there's a whole heap of physical movement, incidental activity we call it, that's involved in having a pet, you know, getting up, letting them outside in the middle of the night often, getting up, feeding them, making sure they have food. Some are just looking for them, getting up to go and look at them, going down the paddock to check out the horses, bringing them back to stables, that sort of thing. So some animals have obviously quite a lot more movement, but we know that incidental movement and the reduction in that is part of our obesity epidemic. So there's the physical health. The mental health and social health. Social health, we know that animals act as a catalyst between people. So there's the business about dog parks and dog walking, and you can say hello to people with a dog, but not if they don't have a pet. Dogs and babies kind of works the same. It breaks down things. But then there's the mental health, but it's also talking. So pets are a safe space to talk about, we find, between people. You know. So there's the social stuff. And the mental health stuff is more that individual sense of having something that loves me, having a sense of purpose. I'm loved and cared about by this animal, and if I wasn't here, they would have a much worse life. So there's those three areas that operate in terms of pets.
Yeah, right. Can the health benefits of owning a pet assist someone who does not own a pet or does not like pets in terms of creating better social interaction and communal belonging? Can health benefits assist people that don't own the pet, I should say?
Well, yeah, it's a really good question. And I think it is possible. It's not speculative, but if you think about notions of social capital, so if you're actually building social capital, building connections between people broadly in society, we know that that does things like reduce crime rates, lead to higher rates of trust, lead to a better general sense of enjoyment, that sense of life being okay in suburbs and in streets and that kind of thing. So if you actually have that being facilitated by animals, then even for people that don't like pets, yeah, there's probably some tangential impacts on them as well. I don't think it's been particularly explored so far. We're still really just focusing on understanding how pets impact on people that do like animals. It's possible to make that tangential connection as well for those other people. Even if a dog barks and keeps you awake, it may actually be giving you some other benefits you're not so conscious of.
Yeah, right. I guess it is a bit of a balancing act between the physical and the social and mental health. They really all equal to longevity. So while studies have shown that general health outcomes are improved after owning a pet, should the discussion around pets and improved health be looked to whom pets are most suited to and when they are most likely to provide the health benefits?
Yeah, look, I think there's certainly some work to be. We tend to do it around dog breeds quite often, you know, like choose the dog breed that's going to work for you, rah, rah, and you can go online and look at that stuff. We could extend that stuff into even broader directions. So if you like going away a lot, this was a friend who's into reptiles told me, you can leave your snake for about X number of months, because they hibernate, that kind of thing. So lifestyles make a difference for people. But I think, that's kind of like the everybody topic. But when we actually look at where pets seem to have the biggest impact on people's health and well-being, and particularly their mental health, it seems to be particularly vulnerable population, or what we call vulnerable populations. So people with chronic mental illness, mental health diagnoses, people with chronic illnesses, homeless people. We're even looking at spaces like where domestic relationships are very strained. So that space around domestic and family violence and the impact that pets may have and how they may be impacted on. So particularly where people are vulnerable in human relationships, pets can be particularly important. They're kind of a supplement for human relationships, but they're also qualitatively different. So if you've got some psychoses and you've got weird thoughts happening in your head, people may be scared and nervous of you, but the dog's not. The dog just thinks you're marvellous. The cat, the same. The budgie still chats to you, etc. So they actually give people who are vulnerable these. It's almost like it adds to the impact. So all of us know what it's like to come home and the dog loves us and the cat smooches up to us. But if you're actually quite, you're sort of ostracised from society or tend to be ostracised or isolated, then it's almost like a magnifying glass on the impacts. So vulnerable people in particular seem to be a space where if pets work for them, if animals work for them, then this could be a resource for those people. So if you're actually working in those spaces, if someone has a pet, it's not something to ignore. It's a space for actually exploring how this relationship works for the person. Because let's face it, most of these people don't have great incomes. So if they've got a pet and they're feeding it and the pet's looking pretty healthy, they're making a choice about how they spend their scarce resources, their really tight resources.
I guess you mentioned we are talking about how pets benefit us, but are there situations like you just mentioned there where the human and pet relationship, so that the vice versa relationship, is actually kind of negative towards the pet?
Yeah, it's some stuff that we really need to also start to think about is that intersection. So when I don't think we can just treat animals as things, you know, one pat of the dog a day. I mean, you've talked about people that don't like animals, and, you know, so some of the stuff around, you know, the visiting dog into nursing homes, you know, like if the dogs are really sensitive to humans, and so they're going to be able to pick up on the people that aren't too fussed about having a dog hanging around them.
Yeah.
So we have to pick up on those issues of animal welfare as well. And that links into some of the policy spaces that I think are really important, which is when you look at how animals are relinquished, often it's linked to things like rental policies and people not being able to move to a new rental property, for example, because it says no pets allowed, that kind of thing. Probably some people, we know that with homeless people, it may be a reason why people remain homeless rather than being housed, because they have a pet that, for them, that bond is incredibly powerful and meaningful, and they would rather stay homeless than be giving up their best friend. So we can look at policy spaces as well, and we do need to be conscious of animal welfare as well.
Well, I guess, yeah.
Go on.
I guess owning a pet can go beyond simply being a companion kind of thing. It really is something to engage and take your mind off things. So part of the benefit of owning a pet is also doing activities with them, which is reliant sometimes on transport when you can't walk from the western suburbs to the beach kind of thing. So should there be greater flexibility in allowing certain types of pets, such as dogs, to travel on public transport across our cities?
Well, that seems pretty sensible, really. And if you've travelled, so, you know, the UK, Europe, parts of America, it's not uncommon that you're sitting next to someone with their pet. That's it's just really common. You'll be on an aeroplane and sitting next to someone with their dog, etc. So it happens in other places. So it's kind of interesting that for some reason we're really close to that idea. But again, when you think about those people that could benefit the most from pets, and maybe do benefit the most from them, it's actually those people that we're going to have the most impact on if we change these policies. So if we say it's okay to bring the dog or the budgie or what have you, I mean, we need to think about what are the frameworks for good behaviour of the animal and for caring behaviour of the animals when you get them together, perhaps on a train or a bus. But if I don't have much money, And I'd like to actually take my dog for a walk at a really nice place or down at the beach or a park or something, and I'm quite a distance from it, then catching a bus is going to be the sensible thing. But if I can't take the dog on the bus, that will restrict and lower my access and the dog's access to some walking space perhaps. So we can actually improve people's health by thinking about how their relationships with animals can actually be impacted on by our policies and, you know, actually just start to change the rules a bit and actually improve people's health, not quite accidentally, but it's that business about looking for what people have that actually works for their health and making sure we don't allow barriers to constrain that health creation facility.
For sure, it's going to be interesting to see whether maybe Australia takes the example of Europe and the UK, and because I have been to France, and you do see the dogs going out with the owners everywhere. So it would be really, because you could see the knock-on effect it would have to the people you just suggested. Anyway, thank you so much for telling us all about this morning.
Pleasure. Thank you.